give God honor in the reading of the Word of God. We thank God that we have the Bible in our hands. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to have the Bible. It's a wonderful thing to have the Word of God that we can trust and we can read and we can accept the things that God has for us in here. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and he sweat was as were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Let's pray. Oh, Spirit of God, I pray you'd bless the Word of God tonight, as you have. You said it will not return void. We ask the Lord Jesus to do a great work in our hearts and our lives tonight. Help us leave this place tonight different than when we came in. God, I pray you just help us in our lives. Lord, it seems like everywhere we turn, there's temptation. Everywhere we turn, there's turmoil. Everywhere we turn, there's someone hurting and somebody in trouble. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us to be more like you and to act more like you. Lord, help us to bring our needs to you. And we thank you for giving us the peace that passes all understanding in even the most troubled times in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. On that frightening evening on the top of Mount of Olives, this was the night that Jesus was betrayed by the kiss of a friend. Jesus, being accompanied by his most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, Jesus asked them to watch and pray with him. Pray for yourself that you will not fall into temptation, he said. Later he comes back to them, finds them sleeping for sorrow. Again he wakens them and tells them to rise and pray, and they would enter into they will enter into temptation. You know, these men have been Jesus Christ for 3.5 years at least. These men were given many privileges. They seem to have been with Jesus all the time. These men were even the men that were invited to enter into the death chamber of that little girl. And Jesus said, when he put all the others out, Luke chapter 8, verse 51, it says, and when he had came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. Peter was invited to walk on water. He said, Lord, bid me to come to you. He said, come on. Peter and James and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. These three men were the most trusted, seemed like, the most trusted of the 12 disciples. Men in which the power of God rested upon. Men who went two by two preaching the gospel, doing great and marvelous miracles, the Scripture teaches us. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 9, verse 6 says, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Can you imagine the power that was upon these men? These disciples saw Jesus perform the great miracle, served the 5,000, and he fed the 4,000. He saw these starving people feast on fishes and loaves with only a couple little fishes and a few little loaves. Marvelous things they saw. Magnificent things they saw. You would say, hey, didn't they get it? Sometimes we don't get it. Yet in the crucial hour, in the critical time, the divisive act, one of the most momentous times for the Master's life on earth, a strategic moment in the Lord's ministry, Peter, James, and John failed to listen to their Christ. He told them, it's important that you pray. Christ again said to them, arise and pray. But they failed and fell asleep. Here we read that the trio were sleeping while the Savior was sweating great drops of blood. They were sleeping while Christ prayed in agony and distress. They had no idea of the grandeur of the hour. They did not recognize the danger that lay ahead. They did not fathom the power and the force of Satan. They discredited his works of hell. They had no idea what they were going to go face in a few days. The question I posed to you tonight, what did they miss out on? What did they miss out on? What did the disciples of Christ miss out on? Well, I can name you a few. First of all, they missed out on seeing the angel that came to do the wonderful ministering to Jesus Christ, gave him strength. He came, he ministered to Christ, he left, they're asleep. They missed God's help in the time of need and in their testing while their trials and their temptations were so great. Peter succumbed to the testing and the drawing his sword and whacking off the ear of the high priest's servant. All the disciples left the Lord. They were all alone. They missed receiving courage from their heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such thing as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When Jesus got up, his prayer to his heavenly Father, his prayer was answered, and he was ready to take on the challenge. When the disciples woke out of their sleep, they thought that they could take on the battle on themselves. But realizing that they had more of a poor choice by sleeping, they ran from their shepherd. You remember the story of Samson? He was bent on his own ways. He was bent always to get what he wanted all his life. He was spoiled as they come. Yet one day, it all caught up to him when the scripture says in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, and she said, the Philistines are upon thee. And Samson, he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Look at Peter. After that great night, he lies. He curses. He denies the Holy One of God. After the resurrection, his disciples hid themselves in the upper room, fearing the authorities would finally catch up to them. After their Lord appeared to them, they went back to their old job. Peter said, I go fishing. And the others followed him. If they had only known, if they'd only believed, if they'd only perceived, if they'd only prayed, if they'd only had prayed for prayer, changes things. Let's face this on square on tonight. Let's be honest. All of us know that we stand precariously perched above the precipice of catastrophe, disaster. All of us stand within moments of bankruptcy and disintegration and failure. We are always in imminent danger, life and death. David so eloquently said in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, in the last part, he said, there is but one step between me and death. Here's another question I want to ask you tonight. What do we miss when we do not pray? Well, we miss the power of God in our lives. We miss the presence of God in our lives. We miss the blessings and rewards that God has for us. We miss what God has in store for us. We miss what God has in store for our wives. We miss what's in store for our children that could have had, but did not have because we did not pray. We miss what's in store for our children's children. We miss what God has in store for our heritage. We miss what we have in store for our church. Oh God, help us to fall on our face before You. Oh Sunday school teacher, will You drop to Your knees for the children that God has given You to teach? Oh junior church preachers, will You drop on Your knees for those children, those fatherless children that come week after week to our church? That God has given You to preach to. Oh, bus worker, will You drop to Your knees for the children that God has given You to minister to? Oh, nursery worker, will You drop to Your knees for those little ones that God has given You to care for? Cry to the Lord for wisdom. Have You ever thought, have You ever considered how important it is for you to be on your face for the work of God that He's given you? Have you ever thought how important it is for you to fall on your face for His pastor and His family? Do you watch and pray? Do you pray, oh God, keep my preacher right with You? That's a selfish prayer. The more you pray for your preacher, the more he does, the more you're blessed by it. Amen. Do you pray, oh God, keep my preacher right with You? God be with his wife. God be with His children. Keep His grandchildren right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 said, obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I was praying the other day and came over some on my prayer list, I came over some names that broke my heart. It broke my heart. I was challenged. And I remember this scripture. How do we respond? How do we go to God as a pastor? How do we go to God? How do I go to God for you? You know, when your preacher is praying for you in the midnight hours, in the season of the night watch, watching for your souls, how are you doing? The year is 1960. Fred Waldeck, missionary to India, one night, he was out in the bush country, and he met an angry rogue elephant. The elephant charged him, narrowly missing him, and again the mad beast turned and came back at him. Glancing up the medium-sized hill, he saw a man standing, motioning to him to run zigzag, run zigzag. You see, elephants can't see very well, but they can smell very good. And they lay their trunk down almost straight on the ground to find their enemy's scent. He could hardly believe it, but he got away from that monstrous elephant, climbing to the top of the next hill to see the man who had helped him. But nobody was there. 3 weeks later, he received a letter from his godly mama asking Freddie if he was well. She said in her letter, "I was awakened, frightened in the night, and began to pray for you, son." In the letter, she told him that the hour that she was awakened. Missionary Wallach said, after he had calculated the time, it was exactly when he saw the man as he was fleeing for his life from the enraged elephant. Thank God Fred's mother was in tune with the Holy Spirit of God to get up when the Holy Spirit nudged her. I wonder how many times people have been chased by the elephant of life, or the lion that comes to destroy. I remember my grandmother telling about the story in 1942 and during World War II, and my Uncle Johnny, John Shearer, was stationed in Paddington, England. He was flying with the 92nd Bomber Group, 325th Squadron. His plane was called the famed favorite few, B-17G. One night, my grandmother awoke, startled with great agony of spirit for her youngest son. And she began to pray for her pilot son, John William Shearer. Later in a correspondence with her, she found out that he had lost one engine on his plane and fuel was all over the aircraft, but miraculously, he and his crew made it back to England. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouths of the lions. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I love this song. It's called I Must Tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear them, these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly to end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, he all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world a victory to win. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. There are some things that are going to happen in your life. And you have a choice. You have a choice to follow the Lord or a choice not to follow the Lord. God has carefully made all of us free will beings. I heard a story of a preacher in Minnesota that had a daughter that was beautiful. She was the youngest of all the daughters. He is an evangelist, went across the country in the Midwest. And at 15 years old, she stole away home. Away. I didn't know where she went. Gone for about 3 years. He was going to quit the ministry. He said, God, the Bible says, my children don't obey me, how can I lead in the house of God? And he's on his face before God weeping. And he said, I've had it. I can't go any farther. I can't go any farther. All of a sudden, the phone rang. It was from the Baptist hospital down in Louisiana. And they said, are you Lowell Lundstrom? He said, yes, I am. He said, I have your daughter here. She was terribly raped. She has some diseases. And I don't think she's going to make it through the night. Lowell Lundstrom got on an airplane. And as he's getting on the airplane, God spoke to his heart and said, "Al, you think you're a terrible father. Couldn't raise your girl." He said, "So was I. I had two perfect ones, Adam and Eve. They had everything perfect, but they also had a free will. They had a choice. They had a choice to make. And they didn't choose me. They chose Satan's way." When he got down to the hospital, he walked in the room and she opened her eyes and she said, "Daddy." He said, "Before you say anything, Daddy," she said, "it was all me. You're the best daddy a girl could ever have, but it's all me. Just something inside of me." And she came to Christ, and now she works for her dad at the Lowell at Lonesome. I know they're not our kind of people, but they're, you know, all of us have problems some way, somehow in life. And Satan uses those things just to hit us and to beat us down. And he roars like a lion and tries to get us to run. But God says, "Let me tell you something. I'll give you the peace passes all understanding. And if you can't handle it, you lay it at my feet. I'll take care of it. In fact, if you can't pray, I'll pray for you." What a great God. What a wonderful Heavenly Father that loves us so much. Even though the troubles come and all, even though the sorrows come and all the things that happen in our lives, hey, listen to me now. There's a God in heaven that you can anchor your soul to. There's a God in heaven that you can trust with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He's always true. He's always faithful. I've been around this old world for 70 years now. I don't know how many times I've said, "Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this thing." Well, I'm still here tonight. Glory, amen. I wish you all could get the sermon that Rudy Smith preaches down in Pickens, South Carolina. It's called, "When You Get to the End of Your Barrel." You're at top of God's. So many times we have to rely on ourselves and think that we can do all this. I'm telling you, you can't do it. We're in a spiritual battle that is incredible, difficult, and hard. But God says, "You trust me." I told the Lord the other day, I said, "Okay, Lord, one more time. We'll do it. God, give me the passion. Give me the strength. Give me the know-how. Never been down this road before. Never been down this trail before. Never climbed this mountain before. I don't know how to get to the top, and I don't know how to get down." I found out one thing, coming down, you can go down faster a lot than you go up, amen, but it hurts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy way acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Oh my goodness. That's what most of us have the problem with. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Hey, stand close to God. In my prayer, I wrote down something like this. I said, "Dear God, I remember how I used to walk next to my dad. My daddy was a farmer, big old guy. He wasn't tall, but he was big, strong, muscular man. You always smell that chic aftershave on him, you know? And when going back to the pasture or something, I'd always get close to him and kind of keep bumping into him all the time. And when I bump into him, I just get to smell him. I told the Lord a while back, I said, "Lord, I want to walk so close to you that I could smell you like I used to smell my daddy. I just want to serve God in a great fashion, a great way. Not to make something big out of me, but make something big out of you. I don't want my ministry to build me. I want my ministry to build you. That's all I'm here for. That's all I want to do. I just want to serve God with all my heart, with all my strength. I just want to have a passion that I was talking to Brother Rudy the other day, you know, and his wife passed away, and he's really having a hard time with it because he said, I don't know what to do about it, you know. He said, I have all this time. He took care of his wife for 20 years. She's an invalid lady. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, I wake up thinking I got to take care of her. She's not there. She's in glory. He said, I'm heading back home, and boy, I'm speeding. He said, I got to get back because it's time I got to relieve Rosie. And he said, I slow down. He said, hey, Rosie's not even there anymore. She's not working for Mary. Mary's in heaven. He said, drives me crazy. And the other day I called him up and said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. He said, I was preaching for Sammy Allen. They put a camp meeting. And he said, God came down and touched me. Oh, man. I got to get that sermon. And he said, you know what? Sure good to know you still got it. Well, he says, sure good to know that God still gives it to you. And we all are like that. Don't you get tired sometimes? Don't you just think that I'm not going to do it? It ain't going to work. Let me tell you something. Who's telling you that? That's the devil. He's trying to ruin you and try to get you to think that you can't live for the Lord Jesus Christ and that you're worthless and you messed up so many times. But I keep remembering the Bible says, hey, He renews. He renews every morning. His faith, great is His faithfulness. You see, yeah, we fail because we're what? Human. We're just going to keep failing. I told the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, this has got to end. And He said, nope. Oh, good. But we are going to, we have to keep trekking on. Keep putting this up. When I used to hunt, I used to just chunk along. You know, just chunk, 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 chunk. But now, when I'm hunting, I count my paces. I used to count, I started off at 50. I'd go 1, 2, 3. And I'd walk to 50 paces, which is 100 steps. Now, that may not be big to you, but it's big to me when you're carrying all this upstairs, amen, going up the hills. It's hard. And I pull out my binoculars, I go like this. And I got some big binoculars. I tell you what, if you don't hold them steady, you don't see nothing. But my boys thought, oh, Dad, see something. I didn't see nothing, man. I'm just trying to catch my breath, amen. But I ain't going to tell them boys that. Now it's 25. And I go, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. God just helped me to put one more foot ahead. One more step. Hey, you know what? What have I missed in my life by going over here and not doing what I should have been doing here? What did I miss? What did those disciples miss by not staying there in prayer and watching? The Bible said He was only a stone throw away. They could see Him. Don't you tell me they didn't see that angel. Could have seen that bright angel when He came. And they could have went, wow. But they missed. There's scripture in the Old Testament talks about how the children of Israel missed out. He said, you could have had this, but you didn't. Because you were unfaithful. Think of all the people. When they came out of the wilderness. And they could just march right into the promised land. But no, they were afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid. Think of what they missed. And He said, anybody that's 20 years and older, you'll never see the promised land. 40 years! It cost them 40 years for some cockamamie, foolish report from 10 bad spies. And then when they told it, everybody else went, and Caleb said, no, no, right, hey, we can do it. You know what? Guess what Caleb got to do? And Joshua got to do. They got to go. And that's the way you say, well, preacher, we are not a big church. No, we're not a big church. God called us to be faithful, not a big church. God called us to serve Him with our hearts and our soul. One person. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we had 21 saved at Cajun Bible School. Amen? So, what do you think that does for God? What do you think? What do you think of this morning when you rode that bus and got up earlier than everybody else did? And those crazy kids on the bus. Was that important to God? Was it important to God?
No.
No. He said, but we only had... I didn't know God was counting. I thought He said that you'd be counted faithful. I heard somebody get after me a while back. Says, that's all you preach about is faithful. Well, read your Bible. That's all it talks about is being faithful. I'm just a messenger. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just a messenger to say, hey, you know what? The Bible said we ought to be faithful. We ought to serve God with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Just trying to help you out there. Father, Lord, bless this time. Help us, Lord, not to miss out. Lord, sometimes we miss out personally. And then our wives or our husband misses out because, and our children miss out, and our grandchildren miss out because we are unwilling to be faithful. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to always be and do what You'd have us to do. Lord, now help us tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I'd sure like to know. I'd sure like to have that taken care of tonight. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or not. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Here tonight and said, preacher, I know for a fact there's some things in my life that I missed out on because I have not been. But I want God to know tonight that I'm going to be a little more careful. A couple of weeks ago, Dr. Jorgensen preached on just plodding. Man, was that was such an encouragement to me. Just a plodder. He said, I might not read my Bible all the way through, but at least I started. That was an encouragement to me. He reminded us of the racehorses. They go fast, but they're awful brittle. But your old plotter, man, he just keeps going and going and going and going and going and going. I pray to God that's what our church will be like. Father, now speak to our hearts. Dear God, we need You tonight, and we need to be very careful how we live so that we would not miss out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We'll have this moment of invitation here tonight and say, preacher, there's some things in my heart, my life, that I'm just asking God to help me in. Would you come as the music plays?